Five, four, three, two, one.
International Desk.
Our go.
The International Court of Justice has issued an advisory opinion that nations can be held legally accountable for greenhouse gas emissions. The court found that those who are harmed by human-caused climate change could be entitled to reparations. The case was spearheaded by Pacific Island students and the government of Vanuatu, and then backed by 105 sponsor countries. For International Desk, I spoke to Justin Sobian, a University of Auckland senior tutor in law, who also acted as counsel for Grenada and St. Vincent and the Grenadines. Here is that interview. Could you start by summarising the result of the ICJ ruling?
Yeah, sure. In summary, the ICJ ruling, because it's more than, I believe, how many pages? I mean, it's 150-odd pages. Essentially, what the ruling is saying is that states developed or developing, or which are vulnerable or not vulnerable, have obligations to protect their peoples or the earth from the devastating impacts of climate change. And this is present generations and also future generations, the generations that are not yet born. So it has, that's the general nutshell of it, if you want to put it that way, that states have obligations to protect the earth or the planet from the devastating impacts caused by climate change.
You were at The Hague when the ruling was delivered. What was it like to be there?
Well, it was like an out-of-body moment, to be honest. I mean, the thing is, nobody knew what the decision would be like. In fact, there were some, including myself, who felt that the ICJ is traditionally known as a very conservative judicial organ. So I was trying to be cautiously optimistic, but in fact, I was sitting down next to my Caribbean colleague of mine from St. Lucia, and it was just ticking all the boxes every time the president of the court was going through the paragraphs of his opinion, well, the judge's opinion, which was, of course, as we know, unanimous. And there was a lot of oohs and ahs and nudging with the elbows and so on. And he said, this is the point, this is what we're asking. So every single thing which I think, let's say 95% of the arguments which small island developing states, vulnerable states argued, was actually received and welcomed by the ICJ. So I think it's definitely a landmark and historic opinion, which will be cited for decades or even centuries to come, in my opinion.
You acted as counsel for Grenada and St. Vincent and the Grenadines. Do you think the ruling could make a difference for island nations which are particularly vulnerable to climate change?
I think it definitely can, but of course it's not going to happen overnight. The ruling is not going to stop the largest or biggest polluters from polluting. It's not going to, all the greenhouse gases currently locked in the atmosphere is not going to just disappear overnight. But I do think that in the long term, even in the medium term, countries such as Grenada, St. Vincent and the Grenadines, and even as far the next side of the world where we are, the Pacific Island nations, we had a meeting already this morning, Alliance of Small Island States. There is implications in that we now realize that we could have a class action, possibly a class action against the biggest polluters for sea level rise, which are totally engulfing all of our countries, especially in the Pacific. If you look at Tuvalu, for example, Micronesia, another example. So I think there are implications, I think, in the long run, and states are already putting their heads together along this advisory opinion, trying to digest it to see how we can move forward in terms of litigation and also COP negotiations, but it's going to be something for another question. Yeah.
Does the ruling bring new responsibilities for New Zealand, particularly towards our Pacific neighbours?
Yes, I think definitely it does. I think when I was there, Joel, I think in December, and we listened to New Zealand's statement, and a New Zealand colleague, a Tuvalu colleague, came up to me and said, well, there's nothing there in the statement, honestly, that says anything about the Cook Islands or Tokelau or Niue. So I think especially for those small island states, in the Pacific, which New Zealand has a specific, a special relationship with, where Cook Islands, they get their separate state statement for obvious reasons, but countries such as Niue and Tokelau, they didn't. So I think there is a sense of neglect. So I believe now that with the COP negotiations that are coming along, with more delegations coming and impressing upon themselves the need to observe this ICJ ruling, I think New Zealand has to be very cautious and has to act, I would think, in the best interest of these small island states, especially those which they have a special relationship with.
And what are the next steps now that the ruling has been delivered?
So the next step, that's what we're trying to do right now, put our heads together. The Pacific states, I know, are going to have a meeting sometime in September, I believe, under the PIFS, the Pacific Island Forum. I may be invited as a Caribbean member, small island state, being in New Zealand, as I have been in the past. So AOSIS, the Alliance of Small Island States, had a Zoom meeting this morning, 9 o'clock New Zealand time, discussing about what are the next steps. I think the focus right now will be, well, the ZDSO in the COP negotiations, which, of course, is going to take place in Brazil November to see. But that is the closest nexus, this International Law Week happening in New York, September. But I think in terms of strategic negotiations, we're going to try to see how we could leverage the ICJ outcome into that. Because you'll recall that there were some delegations, I think 2 years ago at the COP, it was India and China. But anyway, there was a debate of whether you should phase out coal or phase down coal. Of course, we small island states were saying we should totally phase out, but then the actual term that was left in the agreement is that we should phase down. And now the ICJ is saying that fossil states who continue to support or subsidize fossil fuel production or fossil fuel subsidies, they may be potentially be liable for International Wrongful Act in terms of complying with climate change. So that is something that's something huge, it's immense, that we can use to show that, listen, even the ICJ is saying that continuing to invest in fossil fuels could amount to a wrongful act under international law. One thing I would like to add is that there was a special mention, I think, of the present generation acting as trustees of humanity, meaning trustees of humanity or trustees for the earth, meaning that the present generation has an obligation to hand over the earth to the future generations, or the generation not born, in at least at the same level as they had it, at the very minimum, the same level. Of course, we could improve, but I think that was an argument that was raised by my delegation, Grenada and St. Vincent and the Grenadines, and maybe I think Cook Island spoke about it as well. So we are very happy to see that made it in the main judgment, that the present generation or states have to act as trustees of the environment, trustees of the earth for future generations. So I think that was a very important point to stress.
That was Justin Sobian, Senior Tutor in Law at the University of Auckland and Counsel for Grenada and St. Vincent and the Grenadines on the recent International Court of Justice ruling on states' climate change obligations. We'll be right back.
International Desk on 95 BFM.